Please turn in your Bibles this morning to the book of John, John chapter 7. John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." Father, we ask your blessing upon the message today. We pray, Lord, that we would all come to the divine fountainhead. Lord, that we might receive power, power to live out the Christian life in all aspects. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I have, for the most part, attended Pentecostal churches all my life. I was born, and my parents, my mom and my grandparents were members of an Assembly of God church. We attended a Church of God, the Pentecostal Church of God, for a little while when I was growing up. I don't really remember that too much because that was in my younger years. At the age of 9, I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And you know, there needs to come a point when you do that. There needs to come a point in time in your life where you take the action to receive Christ. It's so easy growing up in the church, you think you've always been saved. But that's not the case. And I realized for me when I was 9 years old that I had never invited Jesus Christ to be my Savior. I'd attended church all up until that time. You know, people thought I was saved. I was a good kid. But I had never received Christ as my Savior. And so I remember when it happened, I was actually at home watching Billy Graham on the TV. And he spoke directly to me that night. He said, "There are those of you that are watching by television," you know how he does that, you've got everybody fooled. They all think you're a Christian, but you don't have a personal relationship with Christ. And so I knelt at my bed that night and I received Jesus. And then the next Sunday I went forward at church to make a public confession that I had received Christ. I did that at the age of 9. At the age of 11, I was baptized in water. Now, we do that after a person has asked Jesus to be his Savior, because then they understand what the Christian life is all about. They understand what they've done. And I know some people are baptized, they're sprinkled, they're poured on as infants. And if that has happened to you, I would encourage you to be baptized over now that you're older, so you know what the baptism in water is all about. It's identification that you have received Christ as your Savior. And it's a sign to the witnesses of that event, and it's a public profession of your faith. And so I'd encourage you to do that. If you had not done that, be baptized in water. And then at the age of 13, I received what we Pentecostals call the infilling or the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And we had an evangelist. We had revival services at our church, and I went forward most every night to try to receive this experience. You know, and I realized I was seeking an experience instead of just worshiping Christ, worshiping the Lord. And so although I did speak with tongues, that was not why I was at the altar. I was there to receive more of Jesus. I was there to praise and to worship Him. And you know, when you do that, the Lord will give you all that He has for you. If you give all of yourself to Christ, you just lay it all out on the altar, then He'll hold nothing back from you. He'll give it to you as well. And I remember that experience. I was 13, as I said. I was just beginning my crazy mixed up teenage years. But it made numerous changes in my life. I became aware of the change in my personality. I knew that I was a different person after that. I knew such joy that I had never experienced before. I began to have a hunger for the Word of God, to read the Word of God. Up until that time, I really didn't have much of a desire to read God's Word. But after that, I started reading the Bible every day.
And I also noticed that I had a desire to tell others about Jesus. I really never had that desire before, but I had a greater desire to tell others about Jesus. And when I did start talking to the others about Jesus, there seemed to be a new power, a new authority that came with it, that came with me. If this has never happened to you, you've really missed out on something. How many of you have ever been witnessing and talking to somebody, and all of a sudden a thought, a scripture came to you that you would have never thought of on your own? That's the power in witnessing. That's the power that the Holy Spirit gives us. And so I was 13 when I received that experience. And if you're here today and you want all that Jesus has, you know, the Bible says that He gives the Holy Spirit to whoever asks Him. And I believe that He will do that for you. He is no respecter of persons. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. But I also felt a source, a spring of divine power, a fountainhead. A fountainhead is a starting point for a stream or a river. And that experience that I had at the age of 13 was not an experience in and of itself, but really it was a starting point for something else. Some people think, oh, I've received the infilling of the Holy Spirit. I've received the Holy Spirit. That's all that there is. That's just the beginning. That's just the start. And the Bible tells us to be filled with the Spirit, and the meaning there is of a continual basis. We are to be filled, and we are to continue to be filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit. Fountainhead is a starting point for a stream or river. Jesus promised, "He that believeth on me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Here today to testify to you that I found the fountainhead. I found the starting point. And my prayer is that every one of you would not only find the starting point, but you would continue on in that power. Jesus gave the promise, excuse me, of living waters during the Festival of Tabernacles in Jerusalem. This was one of the special days that required the presence of all adult males who lived 15 miles outside of the holy city or closer. All male Jews who lived within 15 miles of the city were required to be there. And so Jerusalem that day was packed with worshipers. There were specially constructed booths, and these booths were just everywhere. They were temporary shelters for the town folk as well as for the visiting people. They were built of branches and leaves and had an opening in the roof so that the stars could be seen at night. It was supposed to be a flashback to the days when the Israelites had camped in the wilderness. You know how they wandered in the wilderness and they lived under God's great sky. But there was an unusual ceremony that took place in conjunction with the Festival of Tabernacles. The worshipers brought willows and palms to the temple, and they formed an arch or screen over the great altar. As they marched around it, the priest would take a sacred pitcher to the Pool of Siloam, and he would fill it with water. Then as he would bring it back to the Temple Mountain, the worshipers would recite Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 3. Maybe you know it. "Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation." So here's that priest. He's got the water. He's pouring it over there, the pitcher, over the altar. And while he's doing that, the people are saying, "Behold, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation." So the water was a sacrifice of sorts, and it was also a memory of the water which sprang from the rock in the wilderness. You know, the people cried for water, and God told Moses to speak to the rock, and when he spoke to the rock, water gushed out, and the people were able to satisfy their thirst. But on the last day of the ceremony, they marched around that altar seven times, remembering, can you guess, Jericho. Remembering Jericho and the fall of its walls. It was a dramatic moment in the festival, a dramatic moment in the Temple Mountain. And then 1 year, Think about this. One year, suddenly, a clear voice shatters the proceedings. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. See, they're pouring the water upon the altar. Somebody stands up. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture says, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And all eyes turned and focused on the one who was speaking, and there stood Jesus Christ. And he was offering them living water, and he was offering them total fulfillment. Jesus Christ is the fulfillment. He is the baptizer. John the Baptist made it very clear in Matthew chapter 11, or chapter 3 and verse 11. He said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not able to unlace, not worthy to unlace. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now, what is the purpose in doing this? The purpose is to make us available to be the fountainhead of God's Spirit, to saturate us with power for service, to make us fruitful witnesses, and to complete his promise to us of abundant life. Jesus carefully prepared the hearts and mind of his disciples prior to his death, resurrection, and ascension. They were to be recipients of an unimaginable supply of supernatural ability and power. Listen to the scriptures, John chapter 14 and verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. John 14, 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. John chapter 16, verses 8 through 14, and when he is come, the Holy Spirit, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they believe not in me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and ye see me no more, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. And one last verse, Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Would you turn, please, to Acts chapter 2, the infilling of the Holy Spirit must never be considered as optional equipment to the believer. Acts chapter 2 contains the fulfillment of the promise. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Then it names some of the places where they had come from. Verse 12 says, And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? Others mocking said, These men are full of new wine. Probably no Christian experience has been so confusing as our topic today. Probably no Christian experience has been as misunderstood as our topic today. And probably no Christian experience has been mocked as much as the one that we are talking about today. I have faced all kinds of mockery. I have had people that I considered friends when they find out that I'm Pentecostal, all of a sudden, they don't have anything to do with me anymore. Because people mock what they don't understand. People mock what they don't understand. And if you're here today and this is new to you, something you have not heard of before, or something that maybe that you have mocked in the past, I would just encourage you to seek the Scriptures and see what they say. Don't necessarily go by what I say, or don't necessarily go by what you've heard before, but consider the Scriptures. You know, Peter said this promise was the fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel. And then he said, this promise is to you, your children, and all who are afar off. It's for all. And so again, I would not want you to consider this something optional in your Christian life. Not something that you could just take or leave. It's an experience to be gained in order to partake in any... It's not an experience to be gained to partake in any certain manifestation. It's an excursion into the fountainhead. It's a source of power that is given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think if we were honest here this morning, I think all of us probably would say we would want more of Jesus. We would want to know Him more. We'd want to have a greater relationship with Him. And that's what I'm talking about today. An excursion into the fountainhead. And as you study the book of Acts, you see those who experienced this glorious infilling and how they were wondrously used by God. When the early believers were filled with the Spirit, according to the second chapter of Acts, the people of Jerusalem were shocked. They were amazed. They asked, "What meaneth this? What does this mean? What is this all about?" And as you read through the book of Acts and you see the miracles that took place and the tremendous growth of the church, you realize that it couldn't have happened because of organization. It couldn't have happened because simply of zeal. Or it couldn't have happened because of 120 people had this tremendous charisma. The success of the church can only be explained by the supernatural. For 120 people confined in a small room on Mount Zion, the church spread like wildfire. 3,000 saved on one day. And in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, a mighty verse. "And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." The impact of the sovereign move of God's Spirit seeped into every social level in and around Jerusalem. It was felt by government, business, rich and poor. The old city walls could not contain the news. It spread into the countryside, raced across the seas, went into important cities, and spread to Asia and Europe. Think of it. Think of it. I'm always amazed when I find people in a congregation from all walks of life. I mean, you've got doctors and lawyers, and then you've got simple people right alongside worshiping the same God, having the same Christian experiences. The Holy Spirit transcends all classes of people and all walks of life. Think of what happened there. There was no clever media hoopla. I mean, it might have been different if they could have had satellite TV. They didn't have a great way to get the gospel and the news out. It wasn't something that was produced by man. It was a happening that was ordained by God. Men and women had discovered the fountainhead. They had discovered the Holy Spirit and the infilling, and they could never be the same again. Now, you know what? You can get to the fountainhead today. Because the ascension of Jesus allowed the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to come to you. And because Jesus Christ is no longer bound by a human body, His Spirit is omnipresent, everywhere at once. And so I extend to you an invitation, the invitation that Jesus gave over 2,000 years ago. Come to the fountainhead. Come to the fountainhead. Come to the place of total fulfillment and satisfaction. Come to the place where Jesus told the woman at the well, "You'll never have to thirst again." Just ask the Lord just ask the Lord, Lord, would you give me the infilling of the Holy Spirit? Would you baptize me in the Holy Spirit? And I receive that promise. Come to the fountainhead. But maybe you've been to the fountainhead. You're here and I've had those experiences, Pastor. I know what you're talking about. I agree. I've been to the fountainhead. What's next for me? What do I do? Where do I go from here? You know, I think the early church probably wondered the same thing. But the Lord gave them the answer in verse 42 of chapter 2. Well, the Lord gives us the answer. It says, and they continued. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. You know, there are some characteristics of those who have been to the fountainhead and are continually living in that fountainhead. The first thing is, one of the things that I mentioned to me after having this experience was a love for the Scriptures. A Spirit-filled person develops a love for the Scriptures. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. It's not just a duty to read the Bible and learn its truths. The psalmist said, my delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law do I meditate day and night. The Holy Spirit loves us and He seeks to protect us. He knows that the knowledge of God's Word will serve as a shield against teachings of cults and false prophets. And let us not be naive in these days in which we live. Satan has stepped up his attacks and his deception has become even more, if possible, and I believe it has become even more difficult to understand. Deception is running rampant in these days in which we live. There are new cults springing up all the time. Satan is working overtime to deceive people. And if you hear somebody say that they are filled with the Holy Spirit, but they do not love the Word of God, don't believe their testimony. Because if you are full of the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. You will have a desire to continue in the apostles' doctrine. Your delight will be in the law of the Lord, and in His law you will meditate day and night. You say, Pastor, I don't know if I'm full of the Holy Spirit. You say it's a continuous action, it's a command. Do you love the Scriptures? Is your delight there? If not, maybe you need a refilling. The infilled believers also continued steadfastly in fellowship. The Spirit leads us to find our place in the church. King David testified, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. If you like church, you like to come to church. If you don't like to come to church, something's wrong. If you don't like to fellowship with other believers, something is wrong. You need to go back to the divine fountainhead. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship. The early Pentecostals broke bread together. The observance of the ordinances, water baptism and communion, are shared through the ministry of the local church. And the early Pentecostals prayed. Oh, how they prayed. Prayer bridges the gap between heaven and hell. Samuel Chadwick said, there is no power like that of prevailing prayer. Of Abraham pleading for Sodom, Jacob wrestling in the stillness of the night, Moses standing in the breach, Hannah intoxicated with sorrow, David heartbroken with remorse and grief, Jesus in sweat of blood. Add to this list from the records of your church your personal observation and experience, and always there is the cost of passion unto blood. Such prayer prevails. It turns ordinary mortals into men of power. It brings fire. It brings rain. It brings life. It brings God. Do you like to pray? I'm getting a little personal here today. Do you like to pray? If not, you're not continuing steadfastly. See, after you have the Holy Spirit, that's not an end in itself. There's more to be done. There's work to do. The Holy Spirit will help you do it better. He'll help you pray so that you pray. He'll pray through you with groanings that cannot even be uttered. We don't see such prevailing prayer in our days very often. The Spirit-filled believer loves to pray. It is one thing to say prayers. It is quite another to pray. That's what some people do. They say prayers, but they don't pray. The miracles of Acts did not happen by accident. They were the results of prayer. Somebody said, when all is said and done concerning prayer, more is said than done. The Holy Spirit was poured out so that the believer could be empowered as a witness to the lost. The infilling of the Holy Spirit is not the final act. It is the beginning one that fits you for service. When the Pentecostals, early Pentecostals, were filled with the Holy Spirit, they continued steadfastly. They didn't quit. They didn't say, well, this is it. They didn't say, well, I've finally arrived. No, they continued. And the Holy Spirit revealed Christ by the way they lived, by the way they acted, and by the words that they spoke. That's where you get your power for service, power to witness. The Holy Spirit will reveal Christ to others by the way that you live and by the way that you act and also by the words that you speak. Have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? Are you living life in the overflow? Have you been to the divine fountainhead? Are you continuing steadfastly? The Apostles' Doctrine, Fellowship, Breaking of Bread, and of prayers. Could I have your head bowed and your eyes closed this morning? Altar call here. This next portion is just between you and the Lord. I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands today. But I just want you to think. The first question is really easier. Have I been to the fountainhead? Have I ever asked the Lord to fill me with His Holy Spirit? Have you ever asked Him to baptize you into that power of which He speaks? If you have not, I would encourage you today. I don't want you to seek any experience or anything like that. I just want you to say, Jesus, I want the Holy Spirit because I want more of You. I seek You today. I seek more of You. Yes, we have to ask. That's how we receive. The Bible says that He will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him. If you've not done that, come to the fountainhead today. I promise you it'll be the beginning of an exciting Christian life. If you've been to the fountainhead, my question to you is, are you continuing? Are you continuing steadfastly? You can give yourself some checkpoints. Do you love the Scriptures? Do you love church? Do you love fellowshipping with other believers? Do you love to pray? Not say prayers, but pray, really pray. Not maybe you need to come back to the fountainhead for another infilling. Lord, today, You know what each person is thinking. You know where each person is at in their walk with You. Lord, today, You know just how full of the Holy Spirit we are. You know what experiences we've had or didn't have. And Lord, You know the heart and You know the desire. And I just pray that You would meet with each person here today that they might receive something, that everyone might receive more of you. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. More of you. Extend an invitation to you this morning. If there are those, you're interested in this subject, but there's some confusion, or you have some questions, maybe you've had some questions for a long time about the Holy Spirit and about these experiences that I'm talking about this morning, I want to invite you to come and just stand on my left up here this morning. I'd love to answer any questions that I could. I'll try my best to answer all your questions. If you have never come to the Divine Fountainhead, you can do it where you're at. You can come, you can go there. But if you would like to come up here and you would like to have hands laid on you and to be prayed for to receive it, I would just invite you to come and stand up here on my right. Please understand that I don't want to make anybody feel inferior this morning. If you have not experienced this, it doesn't mean that you are any less of a Christian. Not at all. Don't mean to do that. My just desire is that you would have all that God has for you. That's simply my desire. And so I would encourage you to come stand up here on my right. Okay? We will sing it again. More of you, sing that chorus. If you have questions you'd like to have answered, please come and stand on my left. If you would like to be prayed for, please come and stand on my right. I'll ask Pastor Craig, the deacon board, and others of you, Bob Shackleton, others of you that know about this experience and you'd like to pray and help others, I'd invite you to come and be with those that come forward this morning. So could we sing it again? More of you. But if anybody would still like to come, I'm just going to linger up here. And so if you would like to visit, please do so out those back doors this morning. I'm just going to stay up here. Pastor Craig's going to stay up here in hopes that somebody might come and we might be able to talk or pray with you today.